Welcome, anxious humans. I'm Stacey Sorgen, and this is the Anxious Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you are a worrier, an overthinker, someone who plans for every option and iteration of life, you are in the right place. In each episode, we'll explore what makes us unique, weird, and awesome, and how it might be exactly what helps us succeed as entrepreneurs. What if our so-called flaw is actually a tremendous gift and attribute? Let's dig deeper.
It's nice to meet you.
Hello, anxious entrepreneurs. I'm so excited today for you to meet Kristen Westcott. Kristen and I, to be totally honest, we know each other, we've worked together, and what she does is so important for entrepreneurs, especially for those of us who are scattered or maybe anxious. She creates these amazing systems, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in this episode. But let me first introduce you to Kristen. Kristen Westcott is a business growth and system strategist and founder of Kristen Westcott & Co. She spent the last decade in the legal and education fields supporting leaders and students in the areas of goal setting, productivity, and project management. After recognizing her true passion lies in serving entrepreneurs, Kristen honed her skills as a director of operations. She quickly noticed what was holding many business owners back, and maybe like you and me, this is happening for you too, but it's not a lack of drive or ability, but she found it was a lack of foundational systems that could support the day-to-day operations of a scaling business. These days, she spends her time helping online coaches, copywriters, and creatives scale without the frustration that massive growth often brings. Those growing pains can be so tough. We're going to dig into this episode and learn a little bit more about Kristen and what she does and a really cool offering that she has coming up at the end of August 2021. Kristen Westcott, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I know that we've got a big time difference between us, and I appreciate you being here. Could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, and who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Kristen Westcott and I live on the East Coast. So yep, there is a big time difference between me and you, Stacey. And I actually live in Niagara Falls, Ontario. So that is just north of the New York border for those of you who maybe aren't too familiar with the Canadian cities. And I am an entrepreneur and a mom of two beautiful little girls. And we'll hear a little bit about my story about what happened when they were born and all that kind of manifested from that. And I currently work online as an operations specialist. And so I work with entrepreneurs who have made that jump into the online space and they, you know, they have something that they're offering out there, whether it's a product or a service or a coaching program or something like that. And things are going really, really well for them. But now they've hit that spot where they feel like they are totally maxed for time, which is causing them to feel really kind of flustered and frantic. And right, I call it that messy middle kind of space where they're just feeling in total utter chaos all the time. And I help them, you know, create calm from that chaos and really streamline and simplify things and help them figure out how to use systems strategically in their business so that they can still enjoy that time with their client. They can still have that face-to-face, build those relationships, but, you know, get rid of some of that administrative stuff off their plate that is taking up their time and causing them to feel like they just don't have a break from what the heck is going on in their business and life. So that's just a little bit about what I do.
Absolutely. I think everybody has probably experienced those growing pains when you realize that you're working more hours in your business than actually having the opportunity to work on your business. And it's kind of figuring out what to do next is exactly where you come in, like helping to automate some things and helping to develop better systems. And I love that I have worked with you personally, so I can kind of speak to some of the amazing things that you do behind the scenes. Kristen is like the Wizard of Oz, just like pulling the strings behind the curtain, trying to figure out how to get everything working really, really well. So I'm so glad that you're here today. And I do want to dig into a little bit more of like what you offer and how you work with entrepreneurs. But earlier you dangled a carrot, Kristen. You said that you're going to talk a little bit about how you manifested what you currently do out of the birth of your two kiddos. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like everyone else out there, you have an idea when you go to school as to what you're going to do and what your kind of your plan is. You know, you might not be totally 100% have it all planned out like me, right? Like I am a planner. So like, I of course had my 10-year plan all set down to like what was going to happen, when I was going to have my children and everything else. Right. And you know, everything went according to plan 100%. I even luckily conceived my daughter, you know, when I wanted to have children. You know, I said not before 30, and I wanted to have her when I was 30, and I did. I mean, it all worked out there. But what I didn't account for was after the birth of my daughter, after the birth of both of my children, I experienced really severe postpartum depression. And the first time round, it took a while for me to recognize. So as, and this is common for any of you who aren't aware of that. If you are a high achiever, if you are somebody who is like really ambitious and really driven, a lot of times you won't necessarily recognize what you're experiencing as, you know, a product of depression. And so for me, it was postpartum depression, but for other women, it can just be experiencing depression without it being postpartum. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't recognize it as that because of our symptoms might be a little bit different because of how driven we are. So in any event, I could not handle being a mom because obviously babies just don't fit into all of that planning that I did, right? And I, you know, I had ideas about what was going to happen. And we are very blessed in Canada to have a 1-year maternity leave. So we pay a lot of taxes as Canadians, but part of that goes into supporting new parents after they have children. And we get 1 year off with our children before we need to return to the workforce. And so I was blessed to have that time off, but I was experiencing postpartum depression during that time. And so I was not loving it. And so of course, then there's that tension of everyone out there I see on social media is just loving motherhood. And I'm like, not at all enjoying it. Right. And there's this should around like, you should have that immediate bond with your daughter. Like the second you hold them, you should have that immediate attachment. And all of the things that you envision about motherhood were not happening for me. And so it took a while and I ended up getting, you know, therapy and working through that. And then I returned to the workforce afterwards and got hit with a whole new set of issues. Right. And I don't care what anyone says about how progressive society is. It does not support working parents, men, women, whatever. It does not support working parents in general to have the flexibility that they need to be able to respond to their children's needs. Just because the baby turns 1 or 2 or the child turns 5 does not necessarily mean that all of a sudden all of their needs are going to disappear and go away. And so that's what actually started me on my journey towards entrepreneurship was while I was going through the therapy, my therapist suggested I get a hobby. And I could not recall the last time I had a hobby, Stacey, because as you can imagine, right, I was a child of a single mom. And so I knew I had to work really hard to save a lot of money to be able to attend university. And so I worked 3 part-time jobs as a high school student. And then when I got into university, I always held a part-time job in order to be able to pay my way through university. And then I graduated and I again picked up a second job. So I was working 70-hour work weeks prior to having my daughter. And then when I had my daughter, I couldn't do that. And I had to let go of one job, which kind of also played into all of everything that was happening in my head at that time. I couldn't recall ever having a hobby. So I hit up Google, right? Good old Google.
Good old Google.
Yeah. I mean, what else will we do? I don't know what I did before Google. And I do remember what I did before Google because I was around for that time, but I just, you know, I didn't have as many issues then, I guess, that I needed answers to as a child. And so I hit up Google and started Googling a bunch of things. And of course, one of the things that came up in my Google searches was health coaching. And I was like, oh, so of course I get targeted with all kinds of ads and I checked that out and I go into the space and I got certified as a health coach. And then that wasn't super jiving with me because again, as a new mom, like I was just eating whatever I could put in my mouth, right? Crackers, chocolate, like whatever it was, that's all I was eating. And so here, I can't coach people on making healthy choices there's a big misconception around what health coaching actually is. And a lot of people want diets and nutrition plans and that kind of stuff. And I was like, I can't give you that. I need chicken fingers and French fries for dinner tonight. Like that is what, you know, is happening in our household. And so I shifted into life coaching. And then that's where I really loved that area of things. So now here I am working, life coaching, being a mom, and dealing with, as you can imagine, a lot of anxious thoughts around what's happening in my household.
That's a ton. That is a ton going on for sure. So what happened for you after the life coaching?
So as I'm sure anyone who enters the online space probably can resonate with this, but you know, you have a desire to help in a certain way, whether that is through coaching or whether that's through writing or speaking or whatever that is for you. You just have this desire to help, but you have no idea how to actually run a business or run an online business or anything in that sense. And so like many people, I just took as many courses as I could get my hands on. Right. And so also I am a learner. If you're familiar with the StrengthsFinder, learner is one of my top five strengths. I worked in a university before. I laughed like I am indoctrinated with the love of learning all the time. And so I kept taking courses and course after course after course, you know, because I just needed to add more to my plate, apparently. That, but that side note for anyone listening, that is also one of my coping mechanisms. So don't think that this is the solution to your anxiety. For me, that was a coping mechanism, which I have now learned to work through, and I have other coping mechanisms in place. But at the time, it was to overload myself with courses so that I didn't have to think about anything else that was happening in my life.
Absolutely. That makes sense. That makes sense. And I think there's a lot of us who, I mean, I'm raising my hand over here. I'm a learner too. So absolutely. That can be one of the things. So you're learning online, you're pushing yourself through all these programs to learn how to work with people in the online space, right? And then what?
And so then from there, of course, I got involved in the Facebook groups that go along with these courses. And what I found was that I was spending so much of my time helping these other women that were in these courses because I had taken so many of them that maybe they hadn't heard of or that they hadn't taken, or, you know, maybe they were smart and just took one course at a time, whereas I tried to take so many at a time. And I ended up supporting them and getting on Zoom calls each night with them to help them grow their business. So I'd go to work, I'd come home, I'd be mom, I'd put my baby to bed, and then I'd sit down to work to build my business. And I ended up spending time on Zoom calls coaching other women on like all the other things I'd learned in the other programs. And about 6 months into it, my partner says to me, he's like, how are things going with your business? Right? Like he's just gently inquiring. He doesn't want to push. Right. And I'm like, well, not, you know, I don't have any clients. He's like, but you have been working every night for like 6 months. What's going on? And that's when it hit me. He's like, I had been working every night, but I had been working and supporting other women in building out the back end of their business rather than marketing my own business. And so that's when it hit me. It's like, wow, okay. So do I want to build a coaching business or do I want to build a business where I actually support the back end of other people's businesses? So they're the kind of the face of the business. And I sat with that for a while and I realized like, this is really one I wanted to do. It meshed so well with what I did when I left the corporate world, like when I was working corporate. So I still was working corporate at the time. It meshed so well with what I was doing there with my experiences and everything else and how I wanted to be able to support other women. And so that's when the light bulb went off for me. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is a thing. This can be my business. Like I don't have to struggle to make it all these other things that I'm seeing out there online. This can be it. I can make it what I want it to be. And so that was a big, big moment for me.
I think that's huge. And coming from the corporate world, I always love to hear what people's route was, you know, it can be really anxiety provoking time in people's lives. Like, how do I make this transition? And hearing about your transition is really powerful. What are some of the biggest things that you've gotten out of this journey?
So, I mean, there's been many things. The first that I learned being that person that is that very type A, that planner, is the first thing I've learned is that you have to be okay with shifting and going a little bit with the flow, which is a challenge for me, but it's something that I've really had to learn and embrace, especially over the past year and a half, is that you really do need, yes, you can plan, but you have to have that flexibility and be okay with having some unknown elements. Even though you might feel anxious around those unknown elements, it's okay. And it's okay to feel anxious. And I think that was the other thing is like, I, as a planner, always wanted to know exactly what the outcome for everything was going to be. And when I didn't, it gave me a lot of anxiety. And so I've really had to learn to sit with some of that and be okay with some of that and work through some of that, because there is, you know, you cannot predict every outcome. And especially in the online space, especially with social media and everything kind of going on, that has been a huge, huge piece that I have really learned when I jumped into the online space.
I think it's amazing how you had this recognition of like what your skills were, and then taking your skills, learning more, and kind of putting together something that would help to support other entrepreneurs. I'm kind of curious, when you work with people, what are some of the things that you do with them?
So it really varies depending on the entrepreneur, but I work with a lot of people who are service-based. So we don't deal a lot with like products and shipping and that kind of stuff. It's mostly service-based. And what I help them realize is, again, the first step I look at with them is like, what is your vision for this business? Like, where is it you truly want to be going 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? I try not to get them to plan 10 years, even though I love a good 10-year plan, but just kind of looking at what is it you really want to be doing in this business that you're building? Because I find so many of us start with an idea, but then we get in the online space and we're following people on social, or we're consuming these courses, and we kind of get off track with where it is that we actually wanted to go with our business. And so,
That,
I mean, the first piece is really getting back to the root of that vision or that reason why you got into doing what it is that you want to do. So, you know, we hear like, it's best to do high ticket coaching, or you need to have a group coaching program or a Facebook group, or, you know, you have to start a podcast. And we can get really kind of sucked into all of the shoulds of what we should be doing to have a successful business. So I always like to start there to figure out what is it they really, really want. And then we have a discussion about what is it that they're offering right now? Like, what is it that they're doing right now? And then we start to have a conversation about, are some of those things in alignment with that future vision and what they want from their business? Or are they doing them because they think that they should be, or because somebody else has told them that that's what they have to do? And so I really like to start there, because as a business strategist, I know that there are 100 different ways that you can build your business, and all of them will result in success at whatever level you define success. And not everybody needs to have a multi seven-figure business. And, you know, and there's so many different options out there. And so that's where I really like to start, is getting people to really get back in touch with why they're doing what they're doing, and what it is they're hoping to get from that. What is the impact? What do they want to be feeling or experiencing as they're growing this business? And what can they do to enjoy the journey, right? Because we're not getting there overnight. I can't remember who said the quote, but somebody said like, every overnight success is like 10 years in the making, right? So we might think someone's come on the scene like overnight, but it's been like 10 years in the making. And so what do you want to be doing for that 10 years in the making before people see you as an overnight success? You have to enjoy that journey. And so I think that to me is like the foundational piece. And probably that's part of my life coaching coming in with the business strategy, is like really making sure you're building a business that is in alignment with the lifestyle that you want and the goals that you have personally, and not just kind of building a business that somebody else tells you you should be building.
I was going to say, I can hear your life coach and the health coaching coming out when you're like, I'm not going to tell you the best way to do it. I'm going to help you find your best way to run your business or to market your business. Or, you know, it's I think like every business coach right now is like, my way, it's my way, you know, like here are the steps. And I think that there's so much value in each of us figuring out what works best for us, because that's what's sustainable long-term, right? Like trying to adhere too strictly to something is just trying to adhere to, you know, a fad diet or something like that. It can help us short-term, but in the long-term, we're going to burn out. So I love that you help people to figure out what's in alignment for them. So I'd love, Kristen, to know about, I know that you've been really busy designing a really cool program. I'd love to invite you to talk a little bit about that and what people are seeing in this program, what they can expect.
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to this new group program that I'm getting started, the only way to work with me was one-on-one through private coaching or through VIP days, which were a higher price point. And I realized that there were a lot of people that needed more ongoing support. So I love VIP days. My clients get such fantastic results from getting them done. It's easy for people to carve out one day, but a lot of people wanted more. They wanted to be like, okay, well, what if I need help 3 months down the road, or, you know, 6 weeks down the road, or, you know, how can this work? Or I don't know, my business is growing slowly. And so I don't know what it's going to look like in 3 months or 4 months. And I'd love to still have support. And so I put together a 12-month container where we walk through all of the foundational elements of your business over that time. And so we do quarterly planning each quarter. But like I've explained, I'm not someone who's going to tell you, this is what you have to do this quarter, right? We work together to figure out, okay, what is your focus going to be this quarter? Of all the millions of ideas you have as an entrepreneur, which one is the one that you're going to be really honing in and focusing on this quarter? And then we look at creating some measurements for that. Okay, how do we know when you're going to hit that goal? Not always a number, right? Like sometimes there's different things. It's not always financial, it's other potents. And so we do that every quarter. And then from there, we take that and we also do monthly planning based on that. And then we work with some of the foundational elements of your business. So for example, one of the things we have a look at is, what are your current programs and offerings? And how do they all kind of mesh together, and how do people find them? And, you know, is there kind of that disjoint between any of your messaging around them? Are you trying to serve multiple audiences? Is your attention too divided? And we really look at, you know, having a look to make sure that all of those offers are still serving your goals and your visions, and really kind of focusing that down. And once we get that set, our next step is then we look at, okay, what is your client experience with you for this particular offer? How do they find you? How do they get on a connection call with you? What's the steps they take if they want to work with you? And we really start to build out that whole onboarding experience step by step. And so we will take each of these themes and we work on it for a month, so that you don't have to be like, okay, I just got off this coaching call and now I have to get all my whole customer onboarding done in a week, right? You guys still have businesses to run. You still have all kinds of other things you need to be doing. And so we work on that over a month. And then at the end of the month, we say, okay, so now we have our onboarding. What systems do we need to start to put together for this onboarding to kind of be a little bit more automated for us? Or what kind of systems do we need to put in place to maybe hire someone down the road, 6 months down the road or something, to be able to start doing this for us? And we start to kind of build out that growth plan in your business so that you really can have the support you need down the road. And for some people that will be different, right? Like you might have a podcast editor, but not a virtual assistant, and that's fine. Not everybody has to start with a virtual assistant. And so we have that conversation around, depending on your program and products and what it is that you're doing and what your onboarding system is, who is the best person for your next level of support? And then what do you need in place to be able to hire that person? And so this is why it's a 12-month container, because every business has different highs and lows. Every business has different peak points, rush times, and you won't always be able to execute on certain things when you're in those busier seasons. And so I wanted to create a container where people didn't have that extra pressure, that anxiety around, oh my gosh, I only have 6 weeks in this course or 12 weeks in this course, and I'm in the midst of a launch, or I have stuff going on in my personal life and I'm not going to be able to get it done. I wanted to be able to create that space that people could be like, all right, well, this week is not happening, but I know I have this time to work on this with Kristen, and I can always come back to this, and we can kind of weave those conversations in with the different themes that we're having. So
I heard you mention a couple of different things that you work on in this program. Could you speak a little bit more to like the blind spots that you help people discover in their business? I heard you reference like the customer experience and like how are they finding out about this sort of thing online? And I know that a lot of us who are in business, yeah, we have like shiny object syndrome, like you said. You know, we see something cool happening on Instagram, or we shift, or we do these like very small kind of rebrands where we kind of shift our attention, and then what we're posting online or what we've posted no longer really makes sense. How do you help people find the blind spots like that? And then what are some of the redirects that you do with them in order to ensure that everything is in alignment?
That's a great question. And so Again, part of it comes down to, again, knowing that vision and being really clear on what they're in alignment with. And so what I see often is a lot of people are like, okay, I want to go from one-to-one to a leveraged model. And it's like, then they just all of a sudden throw everything they have into creating all of this stuff for this leveraged model at the expense of still working with one-on-one clients. And then what happens is now they've lost their income. They've lost that one-on-one income. And they're feeling really, really stressed and put a whole ton of pressure on themselves to have this launch of this brand new thing. Could be a group coaching program, could be anything else, right, that you're putting out there, whatever your desire is in the online space. But there's so much pressure for that to succeed because now they're relying on that financially, as well as like their brand image and all kinds of other things that go through our head. And so the first thing I like to do is, again, create a plan for how can we start to maybe reduce some of your one-on-one work, but what is your minimum viable amount of money you need to bring in each month? And let's not dip below that until we have this iteration, this first or second, or maybe even third iteration of this kind of going forward. And so I help them put together that kind of a plan as to how can we carve out the time, where can we start to reduce and start to transition? And then when they do that slower, their messaging online also changes slower, right? They're starting to talk about this new exciting thing. People know what's coming up. They're starting to, like, a lot of people are still talking about the same thing. It's just they're taking on a new angle, right? Like you just did a recent shift where you went from doing, you know, gym training and what have you into like online coaching. So you still talk about the same things. You're still talking about health and wellness and well-being. You have just made a shift from focusing on solely personal training aspect and being in the gym to many other elements. And so when you do this, you bring your audience along with you because they still know you, Stacey Sorgen, for somebody who can really help them with their health goals, whatever those may be. And now you're expanding in their mind what health might be to include mental health and anxiety and all these other things that they might not have previously associated with you, but you still talk about those other core elements of health that you've always talked about. And so when other people are doing this, it's the same kind of idea. We need to look at where are you at now? What is your messaging? What are your offerings? What is your direction? And how can we slowly start to, like, you can't see my hand gestures here, but we start to like decrease the one and kind of like expand the other a little bit more so that then you bring your audience just along with you on that journey naturally.
Yeah. I think that's so, so important that you said that. And I've been through this shift in my business a couple of different times, and there is so much less stress and anxiety when it's a slow, very consistent, like, you know, it's a well thought out process instead of like I'm just going to ditch all this and I'm going to send and try all this new stuff. Woo, is that anxiety provoking right there? So I think I love what you're saying, like keep yourself at that monthly minimum, right, of your earnings, and then make this slow transition. It's a lot less stress and pressure. I don't know anybody who wants to sign up for a group coaching program when there's lots of pressure on the person who's trying to sign you up. You know, you want it to be a good fit for everybody who's getting involved in your program. And I do think that the way you're talking about all of this and that slow transition and, you know, kind of leading people is a fantastic way to grow an online program or group program. Speaking of group programs, is yours open right now or when does it open?
Yeah. So we'll be doing our official opening enrollment at the end of August for a September start. So my kids go back to school right after Labor Day. And I know a lot of parents' children go back starting to like mid to end of August. And so trying to time it with that when we can get into a little bit more of a routine and, you know, God willing, our children will be in school this year instead of at home, but who knows? And so I'm trying to kind of time that back with when parents are starting to get a little bit more into those routines. So yeah, end of August, it's going to be reopening for enrollment for people to kind of join and really get that experience of working through these things on an ongoing basis so that you don't feel that pressure to get it all done in a certain time frame or get it all done right now or make that leap in the next month or even the next quarter. Sometimes the next quarter can even be too much pressure for you to kind of pull something brand new altogether and do, you know, a big pivot.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you just mentioned, God willing, the kids go back to school. What was it like for you to have your entire business online and also to be home with your kids? What was that like?
Yeah. Well, when the pandemic started, my children were 3 and 5. So they were potty trained and old enough in that aspect of things, but still way too young to do anything for themselves. Like even opening an applesauce packet or a yogurt container on their own resulted in, like, you know, it going everywhere, you know, a little bit of resistance and then it gives way and it's like, shh. So like I had to do everything for them. And at the time that the pandemic was started, I was running a different style of business, still in the operations space, but I was a director of operations, which is more commonly known as an integrator, sometimes confused with an OBM. You know, the online space titles are whatever you want to call yourself, really. It's like the Wild West. It's a free-for-all when it comes to titles. But essentially, I was working on running the back end of the business, running people's teams, projects, creating all of their processes, doing the hiring for them. And that also included helping people launch, which if any of you have not been through a launch, it is stressful. No matter who you are, it is a stressful time. So you just need to kind of make sure you're blocking off your self-care time and make sure you have, like, you have a couple of really great coping mechanisms and a support network in place, whether that is a paid team or a private support network at home of friends and family. You need to get that lined up. But I was launching with clients when the kids came home, and launching on its own is stressful. And then launching around children being home is stressful. And then the expectation that I was to take over homeschooling. So my partner is a mechanic, which means he was deemed an essential service and he worked outside of the home. There was no option for him to come home and take on part of the, you know, responsibility of schooling our children. So clearly the three-year-old I was not schooling that, but it meant keeping busy, right? Try and keep a three-year-old busy while you're doing all these other things. And so I actually ended up hitting burnout in December. I was so stressed by trying to manage all of the components. I was working 7 days a week because I just couldn't get it done in the work week when I was trying to homeschool and deal with the kids and evenings and weekends. But as the pandemic went, it was like 4 weeks. Okay, we're going to do this for just 4 more weeks. And then the kids are going to go back. And in 6 more weeks, the kids are going to go back. And then, okay, we're going to open up summer camps. And then they didn't. And so they just kind of strung us along. So I you know, went along with it and it hit the end of December. And I said to my partner, I cannot do this. I said, I don't know how much longer this is going to go on. Could be 4 weeks, could be 4 months, could be 4 more years. I have no idea what's happening here. What I do know is that if I keep going with this, I'm going to be occupying one of those hospital beds pretty soon. I said, because I am well on my way to burnout. And I should say, I always prioritize my sleep because it triggers my depression. So I was still trying to get 7 or 8 hours a night. I never let that go, but it wasn't enough. My body was going on so many other levels throughout the day that 8 hours sleep was just not enough. And so I said, I got to do something different. And he's like, well, what are we going to do? We need your income. And I said, I will figure it out. I will take this skill set and I will apply it in a different way, but I will figure it out. I cannot do this anymore. And that, Stacey, was more stressful than leaving corporate for me, because when I left corporate, I had clients. I left corporate, I had clients lined up. And then when I decided to make that transition and I had to offboard a few of my clients, I didn't have this next iteration of my business lined up. And that was even more stressful than leaving corporate.
Yeah. Like, I know you personally and I know how much you plan. And I can only imagine what place you were in mentally and physically and emotionally for you to willingly step into a place where you didn't know what was going to happen next. Like the alternative was so daunting, right? That you stepped into a place, and it seems like it's going really well, Kristen. It looks like it is a decision that paid off for you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great about it. I think as soon as I made the decision, it was kind of like a weight had been lifted off my shoulder. And so while I was definitely anxious about what was going to happen and where was this money going to come from and how was I going to make it all work, I knew now that I had this space and the energy to make that work. Whereas before, I was feeling so drained and so heavy that it just wasn't happening. And so the first couple of months were tough because I hadn't planned to do this. So I hadn't set aside a whole bunch of money to cover things off. I did have a little bit of savings, but it was a challenge. It was tough. And we cut back on a lot of personal expenses, and I cut back on a lot of things in my business, and I left memberships that I had been a part of that I know I will go back to. But, you know, at that time, I just, you know, you kind of go into survival mode. And I was like, okay, what can I do to kind of trim things back to be? I also knew I was going to accumulate debt, which prior to that, I had a very large resistance to accumulating debt, which you probably guessed from my story of working part-time and being from a single mom growing up and that kind of stuff. I really didn't want to get my family into a situation where this business had a humongous debt. But I knew going into that space, I was going to have to be okay with a little bit of that, knowing that when this new phase took off, we'd get rid of that. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So it did take a few months. I don't want anyone to think that it happened overnight. It did take a few months for that transition to happen because people prior to that had known me for doing ongoing operations work. And now we're shifting into a consulting model, largely focused on a VIP day model. And so that was a completely different client, completely different offer, all new messaging. And it meant for the first time in a long time, I had to market and be the face of my business, Stacey, which was probably the most terrifying part of all for me.
Oh, that's hard. But I think you brought up a couple of really fantastic points here. One of them being that it's important for us as entrepreneurs to invest in ourselves. And I can understand, having come from a family that didn't have a ton of money, I got like a permit when I was a kid to start working when I was 14 or 15. So I wasn't even of working age. And I've had a job consistently since I was, you know, 14, 15, and babysitting and everything before that. Always. And I think that there is a resistance that pops up to having some sort of big investment or accruing some sort of debt because I'm pushing to learn more. And I really had to get past that, knowing that after the program, such as your program, I would make way more money on the other side of it than I would if I hadn't invested. And so I think that that's a really good point, that the investment portion can be pretty tough, especially when we're looking at some of the larger price points and programs, but that they're worth it and you can make that money back in a second afterwards. The other thing is that, you know, I think that, you know, trusting ourselves is really important, and trusting that if we intuitively know that we're supposed to go in a direction, like not to doubt that. And it sounds like you like had this intuition that what was happening was not the thing that should happen and that you wanted to push and have VIP days. You wanted to kind of change your business model. You wanted to invest, you know, and all of these things. And like, what would you say to somebody who's in the same position right now where they're like, I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of feeling like I should go this direction. What would you say to that person?
I would say, yeah, first thing is and this is hard for me to say, I am like very left-brained, but following your intuition has been something that is a challenge for me and something that I've really had to learn to embrace as an entrepreneur, is those little inklings that you get, those nagging thoughts that keep coming back over and over and over again, are trying to tell you something about your health, your business, your life, whatever it is that that thought that's coming to you is. And being able to follow that thought and being okay with investing in that. So we are raised in a society that tells us after high school, you go for some kind of post-secondary education, right? The big push is to college or university or, you know, an elite program or something like that. And we have no problem going into debt for that and paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a formal education, that we have no guarantee when we finish that education that we're going to have a job at the end of it. And we hope for the best, but we have no guarantee. And we're okay with that. And society is okay with that. But when we have this inkling or this passion, all of a sudden now we doubt whether or not we should be investing in that. And I'm not saying you need to invest $100,000, $200,000 in things, but we doubt even investing $1,000, $5,000, $8,000 in ourselves because there's no guarantee. Well, there's no guarantee whether you go the university route into a corporate position. Look what happened with the pandemic. So many corporate jobs were lost. Those safe, secure, guaranteed positions were gone. And I think that has to be a mindset shift that in society has to come from all of society. But really, if you have that inkling of that, think about it, put it into perspective and think about how much did you invest in yourself for in education that was okayed by society? And why would it not be okay to invest in yourself in this way? Because at the end of the day, the only guarantee we have is that we are going to be doing things that are going to make us enjoy life and happiness. And we're the only ones that can do that. We can't rely on external people and external programs. We have to know inside us what's important to us and be okay with taking steps that might not align with somebody else's thoughts on what we should do in order to make ourselves happy.
Yeah, so true. It's not guaranteed, but I will say this, and this might be, you know, this might be tough to say, but there is no program that I've done that I have not gotten a ton out of when I put a ton into it. The only programs that did not work for me are the ones that I did not invest the time that I needed into, right? So whatever program it is that you're looking for, if you need to learn more about the skills that you need in your position, if you're working with Kristen and her program, you know, it's the time and effort and energy that you put in is what you get out tenfold. Would you agree?
1000%. 1000%. Because I've done the same thing. There have been programs that I have invested very high ticket prices in that I didn't get out what I'd hoped. And at the time it was hard to kind of swallow that. But when I reflected on it, it was because I didn't put the effort in that was required to do the work in that program because I was distracted with something else, right? So you get out what you put into that program. And in the online space, know that no matter how many times they market to you that this is the only time, get in now or you're never going to again, note that A, if it really is and they're not running that program again in the future, it probably wasn't worth the investment then because if it was, they would be running it over and over again if they were getting results for your clients. And if it is worth that time and that investment, they will open it again. You might have to wait 6 months. You might have to wait 8 months. You might have to wait a year. But if it is the right thing for you, that opportunity will come around again. And so don't feel forced into doing something now just because you see some marketing out there. Know deeply inside you whether or not you have that time, that energy to invest in that program, because that's the only way that it's going to be worth it for you. So that might mean waiting 6 months and joining then when you know you have that space.
Such a good point. The buyer's remorse is is real, right? And we want to feel like we're getting into programs knowing what we need to put into them and having the energy and the time to put an adequate amount of time into what we're trying to learn, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to implement or create. Such a good point, Kristen. All right, Kristen, I have some rapid fire questions for you, friend. Are you ready?
Oh, I am ready.
All right. Something happened, just happened, imagine, that made you super anxious, Kristen. What is the first thing that you do?
The very first thing is I step back from whatever the environment is. So if it happened with my kids and I was downstairs, I would go to another space in the house, go for a walk outside, depending on the weather, whatever that is, remove myself from the environment so I can gain perspective. And the second thing is I am triggered by clutter. And so I often like anxiety clean. So like a lot of times that's how I process what I'm thinking is by physically doing something. And so more athletic people probably go for a run. Less athletic people like myself, I anxiety clean. So I remove myself from the situation and then I busy myself with cleaning or decluttering, something mindless so that my brain can then start to work through whatever is bothering me.
Oh, that's such a good point. Any sort of physical movement or organization can help just alleviate some of that from your brain that you process through. Fantastic. Could you tell us, do you have a favorite movie, whether it's something you'd like to watch when you're anxious or just maybe something that makes you feel good when you watch it?
Well, my kids are still young, and so we default to Disney. And so we watch a lot of different Disney things, but I'd have to say one of my favorite ones is The Greatest Showman. I know it came out a few years ago now, and it's kind of getting old in terms of what movies are, but I like the messaging behind it. I like the music behind it. I like the kind of the feel good aspect of it. And so that's kind of one of the ones I try and get them to put on rather than watching, you know, Aladdin again, or Raya. This is their latest Raya. I'm like, oh, I love it, but I can only watch it so many times in a week.
Absolutely. That is such a good movie. I love The Greatest Showman. How about music? Do you have a song or a genre of music that just makes you feel more relaxed or maybe pumps you up? What would be your go-to?
If I want to relax, I usually go to YouTube and I just type in instrumental piano music. And there's usually a live stream on that mixes some kind of water, like whether it's a waterfall or whatever, with some piano music. And I find that to really help calm me and relax me if I need to kind of just chill out for a minute. So I don't know if that's a genre, and it's definitely not an artist, but I just go to YouTube. There's usually something live streaming with water and piano mixing together, and it's beautiful. If I want to get pumped up, I usually rely back on, you know, the early 2000s kind of pop style music and, you know, like... Nothing cool, let me tell you. But like,
are you talking like Britney? Are you talking like Backstreet Boys? Like, what are you?
I was a Backstreet Boys fan. Sorry to all the NSYNC fans out there. I was Team Backstreet Boys. I like that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I just kind of it's usually like the one hit wonders, you know, like that song from Legally Blonde, that one that, you know, where she's walking down in the pink outfit. Oh, what's it called? Perfect Day, I think. Or like Paramore, Ain't It Fun? Like, I don't know. These are like one hit wonders, but I find some of the one hit wonder songs are pretty catchy and upbeat.
That song is super fun. I know that Paramore song. Yes. I recommend everyone listen to it. It's kind of tongue in cheek. I love that song. Very, very good. Okay, next question. So if you could right now, from anywhere in the world, summon your favorite, most favorite meal, what would you have?
Oh, hands down, it would be like a combo platter from Italy of like pasta and pizza, but like the real deal stuff from Italy. I have never been. This is on my dream board to go and experience like real Italian pasta. Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen that show with Stanley Tucci where he like goes throughout Italy and just eats? It makes me want to go to Italy too.
I know. And I just rewatched Eat, Pray, Love again. And I was like, oh, I just want to go and eat. And it's true. Like you're going to expand probably 3 gene sizes, but I'm like, I just want to eat all the Italian food.
Well, you know, there's so much walking in Italy and so much bike riding and so much, you know, that there's very good, I think, balance there with everything. Okay. And last question, if you could go back and give yourself some advice 10 years ago, what would you say to you 10 years ago?
This is such a great question, especially since my birthday is tomorrow. I often reflect on things around this time of year just because of that. So
Happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. I would say it's probably to not take life so seriously. Again, Stacey, you know me, like I am very like that logical left brain, that serious, also quiet, very introverted. And so I would say really, it's not to take life so seriously, to really look for the elements of fun in the everyday and not get caught up with that next step, right? Like I'm very motivated, very driven, very ambitious personality, and always moving on to the next thing once I hit a milestone. And so to back up, to have more fun, to enjoy the journey, to not be so focused on, you know, that final end goal, I think would be the advice I would give myself.
That's awesome. Thank you so, so much for being here today, Kristen. It was fantastic to have an opportunity to talk more with you about what you do and how you got into it and how you've shifted. It's amazing. Where can people find more information about you and your programs, Kristen?
I hang out most on Instagram. And so you can find me there at Kristen.Westcott. I love getting audio DMs from people. So if you're listening to this episode, I would love for you to shoot me over an audio DM and just tell me, you know, what was kind of your one takeaway or one aha moment from this episode. And then if you want to find out more about what I do and how to kind of get in touch with me and whatever, you can go to my website, which is KristenWestcott.com. And there you can find more information about my programs and, you know, what I've got, what kind of resources I've got for you, and blog posts and all kinds of fun stuff.
In case you are driving or you are walking right now, don't worry, all of these things will be in the show notes so you can refer to them later. But thank you so much, Kristen Westcott, for being here today. It was a joy to get to know you even better.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey.
Thank you. Take care. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Kristen Westcott for being here for this episode today. It was great to have an opportunity to talk to you. I hope you had a wonderful birthday, Kristen. We talked just before her birthday happened, and I hope it was fantastic. So for more information about Kristen Westcott, you can go to KristenWestcott.com. Her last name is W-E-S-T-C-O-T-T. You can also find more about her group program at KristenWestcott.com/club. And it's launching at the end of August 2021. So check it out. This is amazing. It's going to be incredible. And if you're somebody who's been floundering your business or working more in the day-to-day instead of, you know, on the growth, and you like to grow, check her out. There's also a little bit more information about Kristen in the notes for this episode, so check that out if you'd like. A huge thanks to Brad Parsons of Transound Studios for editing this podcast, and also to Camille Bloom and the original music. Thank you so much. I hope you all go into the world today with strength, bravery, and kindness. See you next week.